4, and like I said, 55 degrees. You're with Lori Dubose as we welcome Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan into the studio this morning. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning, Lori.
We already don't know what day it is because of Mardi Gras. Now with you here on a Friday, we're really confused.
I've been confused all week.
But last night was supposed to have been the council meeting that was supposed to have been Monday night, and due to Mardi Gras was rescheduled, but then due to a lack of quorum, it was announced the meeting is moved to Monday.
That's correct.
But
that's correct.
Go ahead. So yep, you're still ahead. Here to review, because there's quite a few major things on the agenda that I think folks will be interested in hearing about, and we want to remind people to tune in for the work session, because that's where the majority of this discussion takes place.
A lot of the conversation happens in the work session, where they can discuss. They discuss each item on the council agenda. The department heads get up and give an update. So there is a lot of good discussion there. In the work session, this time we only really have one thing on there because the first item, which was Sarah Bicardo, who was going to talk about invasive species removal, she's had to move her date because of all the date changes.
Okay.
So there's only one item on there, so there'll be some good discussion during the work session.
And what is the item?
It'll be talk about the false alarm ordinance with the fire department. We continue to get a lot of false alarms, and that means that we have to roll a truck, and there's a cost associated with that. So we're looking at the possibility of charging folks for those false alarms.
Am I recalling a similar ordinance for police department false alarms several years ago?
You are. That was put in place probably 10 years ago, Lori, mm-hmm. maybe a little bit longer. You know, time gets by us. And we'll probably revisit that one at some point, but it's really become an issue with the fire department. Again, the expense of having to roll those trucks. And we have a volunteer fire department. When you have to disrupt their lives for these ongoing, consistent places that continue to have these false alarms, we just want to, make sure they understand that there's a cost associated with that.
Okay, very good. On to the council agenda. Anything you want to give us a sneak preview on your report of the mayor, or would you rather wait until Monday?
There's so much on the agenda.
Okay, all
right. I might keep that short and sweet this time.
We'll keep going then, because number 5 is similar to what the city did with sewer recently, that will not allow water hookup to the Fairhope water system unless they annex into the city.
That's correct. And really with sewer, we didn't do that. We really stopped sewer connections, and that's on the agenda this time too. When we first presented that ordinance to the council, we asked for anything less than 4 units to be able to connect, because there's some unintended consequences of not allowing anything less than 4 units to connect. So we are going to go back and revisit that and on this agenda.
For the sewer. But for the water, it doesn't seem to designate.
So for the water, if you are contiguous and you are building if you're building and you want our water connection, you will have to annex into the city.
So if you're not contiguous, which means next to city property, can you still get water?
You cannot do island annexations, so that means you can't go out and grab stuff and pull it in, not unless you do that by legislative act. So right now what we're trying to do is just, if you're contiguous, that you'll have to annex. And what we feel is as things annex, then things will become contiguous and that we can continue to annex those places in. Again, this is also a way for us to make sure that folks that are building just on our outskirts are not bypassing those impact fees. We have impact fees when people build subdivisions, and when they build in the county, we're not able to collect those fees. And those fees help us pay for things like police officers, parks, mm-hmm. Roads, those kind of things. So again, we have a lot of things happening on our fringes, and now that we don't have an extraterritorial jurisdiction because of Act 297, this is a way for us to make sure that people are contributing to our city, because they are tapping into our resources when they build just on the fringes,
paying their fair share. I apologize.
Correct.
I don't quite understand. So let's say I'm building a subdivision that's not contiguous, but it's in the Fairhope water system pattern or service area.
You're still going to get our water service, because again, I have 2 different hats, a utility superintendent and a mayor. You're still going to get our water service. Obviously those people pay more for it than if you annex in.
Okay.
But they're still going to get it. And, you know, and there can be some additional cost to that, too. I think you're going to continue to see things evolve with this ordinance that impacts folks in a different, you know, in different ways.
And number six, an ordinance to establish water and wastewater rates for all customers. That sounds like a rate increase to me.
It is a rate increase. You know, things continue to, costs continue to escalate. I know people, just some chatter on social media and stuff, people are saying, oh, because it's all, you know, it's all because of the building and the growth that we're seeing in Fairhope. Really, it's just about the cost of doing business these days. I think you're seeing everything increase. The cost of chemicals have gone up. The cost of pipe has gone up, like just, you know, small pipe. Now, we're not talking large pipe that you're putting down the road. We're talking, the cost of employees have gone up. I mean, everything you're doing is, there's an increase in those costs. You know, it's just one of those things where we continue to have to look at that and make adjustments as needed.
So can you tell us, I read, I believe, with Fairhope Times that this is a minimum usage rate increase, so like a flat across the board.
Right.
Can you tell us details?
Yeah, the way our rates are structured is there's a minimum charge, and for if you're inside the city limits, that minimum charge will be $14, and that is an increase from, I brought that with me, from $12.03.
And that's water?
That's water.
You mean, so let's say a snowbird is not in their house for months at a time. They're charged $12.03 a month for water matter what.
That's correct.
And it's going to go up to 14.
That's correct.
Okay, got it.
It's going to go up to 14. So, and that's a plus each additional 1,000 gallons. So you're paying, and that's, if you use more than 7 gallons, your rate's going to increase. It's kind of confusing, to be honest. But, okay. So your pay, your, I'll give you a copy of this, Lori, so you have it. There you go. You can look at that.
Thank you. So, yep. All right. So it does, then there's a per 1,000 gallon charge.
Correct. So say if your minimum charge is $14, and then say, I brought a copy of my bill also. I'm keeping it in here so I can see it. So basically, I used 3,000 gallons of water. And so my bill was $20.24 right now. That's going to, the minimum charge is going to increase $2, and the each additional 1,000 gallons that I use, so that's up to 1,000 gallons, and then so my two additional 1,000 gallons that I used, I would pay $5.20 for.
And they're going up $2.60. Is that what I'm reading?
No, they're not. They're not going up $2.60. The last, let me see if I have that with me. I'll tell you what it was. It okay. was, each 1,000 gallons was $2.39, so it's going
okay.
up $2.60.
Okay, so it's pretty nominal. I believe I read James equated maybe $3.50 a power bill.
That's
so
correct.
Average.
That's correct.
What about sewer? Same thing, though.
Same thing with sewer. You're charged a minimum charge for sewer. Let me see if I have those rates right here. You're charged a minimum charge of sewer, and sewer is more expensive, obviously, because you have to treat it differently. Inside the city limits, the minimum charge is $22, and that is an increase from, it's basically about 6%. The minimum charge was $20.
Okay. And then what about?
And then each additional 1,000 gallons is $5.30, and that's going up from $5.
Okay.
It's basically a 6% increase.
Okay. All right.
So that's kind of what you're seeing. I was talking to another water superintendent earlier today who made mention that, you know, they were going to have to do a rate increase of 7%. And we were talking about that. And again, I, you know, pulled information from our neighboring water and sewer systems, just looking at their rates. And this really makes us competitive. We were running about $1 lower than most. So this kind of makes us competitive with those other rates, not that we are in competition with them.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, you know, I would remind people to be, you know, just mindful of when we do these rate increases, we are in the middle of a cost of service study. We do feel like we are behind the eight ball on rates. We do not have that study yet, and there's been a lot of discussion, you'll probably hear it Monday night, about should we wait on that cost of service study, but we already know that we're going to have to do an increase. And every month that we do not do an increase, we are losing money.
Okay, so this is an increase on the minimum usage.
That's correct.
What is the rate increase? What's the difference?
It's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's
okay.
Just a rate increase.
Okay.
But you do a cost of service study to justify, basically, so you have the data backing up those increases.
Okay. Do you,
We have some preliminary estimates. We know that we were going to see an increase, and we're trying to get ahead of that curve.
Okay. And the ordinance will be introduced and normally held over and not
lay over for 2 weeks. Okay. That's correct.
Very good. Now, the next three, and there's even more items on the agenda, are still all about water. $1.5 million for water treatment plant number one improvements. That's number seven. $247,000 for water treatment plant improvements, number eight. And another $214,000 for water treatment number one, number nine. Tell us about those.
Right. These are the total budget on this project. These three really should be lumped together, but the way they're bid, they're not done that way.
Right.
But there's $4.5 million budgeted for this project alone. This is a upgrade to our well at treatment plant one. Again, this is all about, you know, we've talked about water conservation last summer. We're putting the well online on County Road 33. We're doing that 24-inch line. This is all part of those well improvement projects. So this will again allow us to increase our water capacity. So this is all part of the same project.
And is any of this grant money, or is this all budgeted within this from the city?
This is not grant money.
Okay. No. All right. And this is what will contribute to the additional, 2 to 4 million gallons starting these?
Correct.
Okay. All right. And then we have number 11 that looks like it's water related as well. Wastewater pump station. Oh, this is sewer. Okay.
It is. This is for us to select an engineer to work on our sewer system. We know that we continue to see, growth along that 181 corridor, and we've kind of addressed north where we put the force main in there to the 181-104 corridor, putting in a regional lift station there. This will take us further south. We'll put another force main up 181 and add a couple regional lift stations. It will allow us to take some capacity off of a lift station closer to 98 so we can, free up some capacity there so we can help with some development there. Again, this is putting on my utility superintendent hat. Some of these will be outside the city limits. Some of these are not outside the city limits. So again, this is just another improvement project. Unfortunately, the cost of doing these projects are high. We know that. And
I see no cost yet.
This is just
determined.
Selecting the engineer now.
Resolution number 12, $408,000 for County Road 13 resurfacing. And that's just what's in the city's portion.
And again, that is part of the budgeted projects with our resurfacing.
Okay. And number 13 is utilizing a grant for a bridge to replace a culvert over Fly Creek on 98 where it washed out.
Correct.
Several months ago.
Probably more than several months. But this is for, we know that going back with a box culvert system, eventually it's going to fail again. I mean, there are about 30,000 cars that pass through there a day. And again, this is an effort for us to be able to protect the health of Fly Creek, because we know that those box culverts create some siltation in the creek. And we, again, know that it will fail eventually. I mean, whether that's 15, 20, 30 years, we do not know. So we're applying for a raise grant. This is going to be something that we're doing in partnership with ALDOT on this project. And Mobile NEP has been involved trying to create a bridge system versus that box culvert system.
NEP, what's that?
Mobile NEP. It's... You're asking now.
Sorry.
It's like escaped my brain.
Okay. There's so many acronyms for things these days. Speaking of Fly Creek, I saw a post on social media from some people that live on Fly Creek, mm-hmm. and the creek was just as brown, reddish brown as it could be. And there was talk about the infiltration, but I'm not sure what was going on. Have you seen anything about that or know anything about?
The only thing I saw was last week. We had a water main break close to St. James, right there by the flower clock.
Uh-huh.
It was an emergency situation. It took us a while to find the pipe. We had to dig down probably about 8 to 10 feet to find the pipe and get that fixed. There is some red dirt there, and we know that's close to the creek. Obviously, we never want to. We put in BMPs. We put in some wattles, these hay wattles in front of the drain there to try to capture some of that, you know, red sediment. Unfortunately, when you have those emergency situations, you don't have a choice but to repair it. So other than that, I don't know if there was anything else, but that's the only thing that I saw.
Okay. On to number, let's skip to 17, a change order for engineering service for the athletic track and additional parking. Oh, that's $2,145.
Yes.
I was thinking, because the whole project was a $2 million
project. It was.
So we're just adding another 10 grand for
correct.
A change order.
Correct.
Okay. 18. Wow, this is big for Quill Creek. 70 new electric golf carts at $523,000.
Yes. So this is for the new golf carts at Quill Creek, like you said. And, you know, we've done a lease program in the past, and we have found if we purchase these outright, there's some purchase discounts that are associated with it. We can also, once we get our life out of these 3 to 4 years life expectancy, we can actually surplus these and you know, generate some revenue back that really covers the cost of these. So we put some pen to paper and really feel like this is a good purchase for us. We will actually recoup most of this cost by selling each of those golf carts after the fact, and we've used them for 3 to 4 years.
What about selling the existing ones there now?
Well, they're on lease, so they go back to the company. So we feel like purchasing those are a better option for the city versus the lease option.
Okay, and this is a budgeted item as well, or is this a...
It is not a budgeted item, to be honest. We, you know, did not know that we were going to purchase them. We did not really look at that in the budget year. We knew that lease was coming up. There is... the lease payments are budgeted, but we did not budget the whole purchase price.
Okay. All right. Number 21, to award Witherington Construction Corp. for Fairhope Public Library second floor renovation, not to exceed $812,000. Did I dream I saw pictures of the renovation that's already taken place?
No, yeah, you dreamed it.
Okay.
It's not taken place yet. We're just awarding this bid.
I guess it was some drawings of what architecture, what depiction
maybe,
of what it could have been.
Maybe some conceptuals that you saw.
Okay.
But
and why is the city spending $812,000 for this instead of the Fairhope Library Board?
We're not spending all this amount. The contract is $812,000. We do the bid because it is a city building. Our contribution is $350,000, and the rest is being paid for by the Friends of the Library.
Okay. That's a little better. Still a lot of money. Was that budgeted?
It was budgeted.
And what is the purpose? What will the second floor be used for?
For youth services, is the most of the second floor will be used, and then it'll free up some space downtown to downstairs to expand, you know, library services downstairs. So it's going to be a great addition. Again, if you want to see those conceptuals, you can go on the library or the Friends of the Library page and look at that.
Okay. Obviously, that's what I saw. Okay. And you're also going into executive session.
We are.
You can't mention that.
No.
All right. So, what off the agenda? You had the ribbon cutting for Gaston Plaza, and then the next day there was yellow tape wrapped around it and work was being done.
That's what I said. I called yesterday.
Probably not as nice as I did.
No, I called yesterday and I was like, what the heck? I'm like, here we are. You know, we dedicated it and now there's caution tape. There was some caulking that was on a punch list that needed to be redone. And so that's what they were doing yesterday, was re-caulking those seating benches. We didn't think that was done, you know, the way it should have been. So that was on our punch list and it needs time to set up and cure.
Right.
So that's why they had it roped off. I hope that today that will be removed and people will be able to use it this weekend. But yeah, you dedicate it and then all of a sudden you're like, don't use it.
That's
so
funny.
Yeah.
Also, I've had a couple of people suggest some type of a shade cover. Have y'all thought about anything like that?
That's really why we have the trees there.
Right.
We hope as those trees grow that they'll create some shade.
That's what I was
thinking. Cover there. We really don't want to put something covered like that. It's such a nice open courtyard in downtown.
And then you have wind or conditions.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
We'll continue to monitor it, but really we're hoping the trees will provide the shade that we need.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we're coming off of the heels of a very successful Mardi Gras with really just kind of one incident, and no arrest and record crowds, according to the chief.
Record crowds. You know, we had maybe one employee accident, which I'm happy to report. You know, a lot of times we'll have an employee who will tweak their back or, you know, whatever during the parade, and we only had one employee accident. We only had nothing serious. Only had a few arrests. We had the one incident during KOER. So I think that it was a successful Mardi Gras season. Really excited about it and thankful for, you know, the employees who make that possible.
Absolutely. If you're down here early, you watch the crew, the public works crew, maddeningly getting those banners, the barricades out. How many barricades do we have? Any idea?
Oh, gosh.
I mean,
no.
It's got to be thousands.
Yes, it's
now
thousands.
The entire route, even up on Bancroft,
it is,
right,
is barricaded. And I should know that number because we just purchased some new ones, but unfortunately I don't.
Because
we use a combination of metal and plastic during the parades. But, yeah, there's just a small section down on Church that we don't have barricaded now. So we know that we need to purchase just a few more to barricade the complete route. But pretty much everything is barricaded. It's great. I don't think people like the plastic barricades as much as the cabling or the metal ones because they feel like they can kind of get through them better. But again, it's for the safety of all that we do that.
Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan joining us a little out of kilter with our schedule because the Fairhope City Council meeting was supposed to be last night. It'd been moved from Mardi Gras, and now it will be this Monday, February 19th. The work session at 4:30, where a lot of these items are discussed, and the meeting will be at 6. And you can also watch it on the City of Fairhope's YouTube channel.